Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord says in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Everybody say that I may know him. Lord, touch us tonight. We ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. Bless you. You can be seated. Just didn't want to have you standing long. I know you're fasting. We finished out. Yesterday was coming to an end. We was riding in the car somewheres. And my girl Hannah was in the car with us. And she just kind of blurted out. We almost made it home. And towards the end of the day, and she blurted out and she went, "It's only day one." Of course, she was referring to the fast. Bless her heart. She could eat 24 hours a day. That girl's amazing. And we know that these fasts help us. They help the church. And we're going to talk about that here a little bit tonight. I ask your forgiveness for not being here on Sunday. You know, someone asked me a good while back, why don't you announce when you're going to be gone? I'm like, are you kidding me? You got to be kidding. That's like telling everybody stay home. The only people who show up are the fanatics. So I can't announce. I tried that one time. And I know it's not that it's me you're coming here for. I know you're coming for the Lord. But it's just something about when the cat's away, the mice play. And that's just kind of the way it is. So we try not to tell you when the cat's going to be gone. We were asked to go to Nassau, their little island in the Bahamas, and do a first-year anniversary for a church there. And normally I don't accept invitations, especially if I have a guest that is here with us, want to be here with them. And then a lot of times I won't accept a single church invitation. I'll actually probably suggest one of our ministers that are with us, because they're such incredible preachers. I've got so many things going. But I really felt like the Lord wanted me to go. And it was just a little old church on that island. They averaged 20 people on that. It was their first year anniversary. They were so excited and thrilled that Sister Colin and I would come. And Brother Black, J.R. Black, is the missionary of that region there. And we had good church on the first night, and then that was Friday night. Saturday night, well, we had 25 on Friday night. We had 28 on Saturday night. And they were so excited. That was their record. They had never had 28 people in service. And on Sunday morning, we had 67 people come to church on Sunday morning. Isn't God awesome? God is awesome. And it was, we just had a wonderful time, people seeking and praying for the power of God. And we were blessed. And I knew when we left, it was the will of God for us to go. So thank you for letting us go and do things like that. We appreciate it very much. For you doing that. Well, we are in our first week of fasting and prayer, and I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. Before I do that, I got one more thing I want to ask of you. Is Brother Hansen here tonight? I haven't seen him. Praise the Lord, brother. God bless you. One of our very own, and he now has his license, right? As a United Pentecostal preacher through the Foreign Missions Division. And he starts full-time deputation sometimes next year. Either by the end of this year or next year, he'll be a full-fledged missionary to Spain, him and his wife and his family. We are so thankful. He is here for a couple of weeks. The people that were renting his home, while they were in Spain, which was a little bit of an income for them, bought a house. So Brother Wilson made him come home. Is Brother Wilson in the house? So Brother Wilson cost me about $2,000. Made Brother Hansen come home. I'll get it out of him later, though. That won't be a problem. I'm just kidding. So, but Brother Hansen had to come home to do some repairs and things like that and fix the house up so he can head back out. Here's the deal. The deal is that because of the visa status, because they're trying to get temporary citizenship, or what do y'all call that? Residency. Okay, they're in Spain, so they don't have to worry about coming in and out. They're residents in Spain. Their children are in school. We don't want to pull them out of school. Because they had to do this, it absorbed the monies that they have. And I really would like to see them be able to stay till June. Then they can take their children out of school, come back to America, raise funds for 3 months, be able to go back to Spain for the remainder of time until they start deputation. And then they're no longer our responsibility. They belong to the United Pentecostal Church. And they, you know, they'll take care of them. So we need about $4,000 to make that happen for this family. Brother and Sister Hansen are loved by this church. They are loved by the ministry in Spain. So between now and Sunday, just let the Lord speak to you. $5, $10, $4,000, whatever the Lord speaks to your heart. And bring something to church on Sunday. We want to take a special offering for Brother Hansen, his family, to get him back into Spain and so that he doesn't have to pull his children out of school and they'll lose an entire year of schooling. So will you let the Lord speak to you about that a little bit? And I know, listen, Pastor knows I've come to you so much recently. You've given so much, and I'm so thankful for that. Very thankful for all that you have done. But we can just never outgive God. He always blesses us in some form or fashion. And now that we're going to be fasting all the month of April, just, you know, whatever you normally would have spent on potato chips and Cokes and hot apple pie, nice yeast rolls, and all the wonderful things we love to eat, you can collect all that money and give it in the plate, and let's help Brother Hansen and the family. Thank you so much. I know that you will. I want to encourage you to try to get on prayer in the morning at 6:30. I even had someone from another state text me today and ask me what the number to prayer was and the code was. They want to start joining us in prayer. They used to attend this church years ago, but they moved up north, and they want to start joining us in prayer in the mornings. If you can find the time, it's possible, and you don't have to be on there the whole 30 minutes. You know, if you're only on 5 minutes or 10 minutes, it just helps the overall spirit of everything. So let's join together as much as possible during this month. 6:30 prayer, noon prayer, 9:30 prayer, praying together, reaching together, loving the Lord together. So Paul the Apostle says that I may know him. This first week of prayer, we listed the things. Brother Sapp named them earlier. You should have a bookmarker, right? I think it was passed out Sunday. How many of y'all still know your bookmarker is? How many of y'all have no clue? A few honest people. Okay. Really, Sister Davila, you don't know where your bookmarker is? We definitely need to get Sister Davila a bookmarker before she leaves here today. She can help us pray. Okay, the subjects, we chose these subjects, or I chose these subjects, but I want us to approach them in somewhat of a different way. Because this week is about relationship with the Lord. Examining my relationship with God. Where do I stand? It's like backing up, taking a step back, and looking at my own life. Instead of somebody else examining me, or more than likely, me examining someone else, right? And looking at them, and, well, you can tell they don't pray. Well, you can tell they don't read the Word of God. Well, you can tell. Instead of examining someone else, examining myself. And so yesterday, I believe, right, was the fourth. Yes, the fourth. It said prayer life. So it wasn't really that I wanted us to pray about our prayer life as much as, or pray about praying more or any of that, as much as it was examining our prayer life, examining me, my prayer life. How often do I pray? Is it ritual prayer? You know, is it automatic prayer, if I can say it that way, where, you know, you're just saying your little prayers, and is it something that has just become a habit of mine, or does my prayer, even though it's maybe a small time, does it have real meaning? Am I really talking to God, or am I just saying words? Are me and the Lord actually having a conversation, or am I just talking? Is it just, I feel that if I can just say so many things to Him, I'm going to be okay. If I can just tell Him I love Him 10 times, I'm going to be all right. Hallelujah 25 times. And don't misunderstand me. I do both of those in prayer. So I don't care if you say hallelujah 125 times. It's not my point. My point is, you and I both know that we often find ourselves locked in prayer that's more of just a habit than it actually is a conversation with God. Where I'm really listening to what I'm saying. I'm concentrating on what I'm saying. I'm speaking to Him from the heart. And at the same time, I'm listening for a response. So yesterday, I wanted us to really examine our prayer life. And, you know, one of the things I may talk about a little bit later, I may not get to it because I'm just going to talk to us tonight. But one of the reasons I think we find ourselves not praying fervently. And when I say fervent, I don't mean loud or energetic. I mean fervent in the spirit with a seriousness about us, a connection to God, a fervent prayer of urgency deep down on the inside of us. And I think a lot of times we find ourselves not entering into that type of prayer with God because there is sin in our life. And you and I both know the moment you get close to God in prayer, He starts dealing with issues in your life. You think He just, you know, I just want to go to prayer and say, God, can we talk about them later? Today I just, you know, let's just me and you talk. Let's just have a good time together, tell a few jokes, spiritually, of course, and I'll walk away feeling good and everything will be great. He doesn't do that, does he? He never misses an opportunity to talk to you about you. Because the more he can fix us, the closer our relationship is to him. Now, I don't have time to really get deep into that, but the reason why our relationship becomes closer to him is not because he opens his arms up wider and lets us in, because we'll never be pure enough, holy enough, or righteous enough to get closer to God. God has brought us in all the way because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But the relationship that I'm talking about is not from God's side, it's from our side. And sin hinders that. And when we go to get close to the Lord, God begins to deal with things in our life. It might even be time to preach that old message I preached a few years ago, the sin of Jeroboam. Powerful message, stirs up, gets deep into our hearts. So I have to examine my prayer life and say, why isn't my prayer life as fervent as it was when I first came to God? Why have I complicated my prayer life? You know, when we first got in this thing, Brother Sean, when we first got in this thing, prayer was so simple. It was just me talking to God. That's all it was. There were no complications. And it seems like the longer we live with God, for God, the more we complicate it. Now, I understand some of that is because the longer we walk with God, the more we learn ourselves. And the more we understand what needs to be fixed with us. But my challenge is this, for me and for you, is that no matter what may be going on in your life, for the next few days, push past that hesitation. Push past that hindrance and get in the presence of the Lord. Yes, He's going to deal with these things in your life because He wants to help you and He wants to strengthen you. But I am here to tell you right now, He is not going to stop you from coming into His presence just because there are things that need to be worked out in your life. There are always things that are going to need to be worked out in your life. Those things will always exist. But if we don't get in His presence, fervently in His presence, then we're not going to receive the strength from Him, the wisdom, the knowledge, the direction, the know-how to handle these things if we do not get deep in His presence. It is dangerous not to have a fervent prayer life with God. Because what will happen, your humanity will allow you to adjust your prayer life so that you can remain comfortable and still live on that level of carnality. And so the more carnal you become, the more shallow your prayer becomes. Because it's your nature to find that place of comfort. We want to be able to enter into the presence of God and be comfortable. Right? Nobody wants to be uncomfortable. And so if we don't address things in our life, then we will slowly back away from the fervency of our prayer. And so the danger of not thrusting yourself into the presence of the Lord, no matter how much it hurts in your carnality, the danger of that is that you will become comfortable in your sin. Comfortable in your carnality. And convince yourself it's okay. And so, what we're trying to do on these days, and I'm laying a foundation with prayer so that I don't have to lay the foundation with the others, but we'll talk about them a little bit, is that we are examining our prayer life and asking ourselves, am I truly opening myself up to God when I pray? Is my prayer a fulfillment of a duty? Or is my prayer a fulfillment of a relationship. Do I hug my wife because it's my duty to hug her? I guess I could do that, but I don't know how much pleasure is going to be in that. I certainly don't know how long it's going to last. And I know for sure she can tell the difference. Or do I hug her from the pleasures of the relationship? That is what strengthens the relationship. But if there is something between me and her that I have hid, or she has hid, like spending money without asking, I can tell that that hug isn't as tight as it was the day before. Because it affects the relationship. So the only way that Elizabeth and I can truly be intimate in all areas of our life is if we are opened to one another and there are no secrets. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, and it doesn't mean she's perfect. It just means she knows my imperfections and I know her imperfections. And we'll work on them together. More her than me, of course, but we'll certainly work on it. And so it's the same thing in our relationship with God with prayer. We hide things from him, and of course we all know we can't do that, right? But we do it anyway, so we think. And we hug God, but it's just not as tight as we hugged him yesterday. Because we're just not open and honest with him. The beautiful thing about God is he already knows everything. But when we open ourselves to him, you have the assurance that he will love you anyway. He may work on these areas, but he will love you anyway. We must become honest with ourselves. And we must be honest with God. We must do this, or we will hinder our prayer life. So this week is about relationship with God. Examining my prayer life. Examining my reading of the Word of God. I want to back up and look at it. I know we have, you know, I think last year when we did this month of fasting, there were a lot of us that also had the challenge of reading through the Bible, right, in 1 month, I think. Did any of us succeed? There was a few of us, I think, that made it. No, Brother Powell, I'm not talking Genesis. A whole Bible, bro. So, I think a few of us may have succeeded. I can't remember. And there's nothing wrong with that. Reading through the Word of God in a year. Nothing wrong with that. We know that. It's a good thing. It keeps you familiar. However, we also know the dangers of that. Of opening it up and getting those three chapters in. In the beginning, God's going, everything happens. He brought forth the light. Chapter 3. Woo! Ah, me and you, God, all the way. We got this down. So it'll become mechanical for us. So today, we were supposed to step back a little bit and examine our Bible reading. Not how much we're reading, but examine what are we really getting out of this book written by him, about him, about his love for us, about our relationship with him, and what things are needful in order to establish this relationship that condemnation is removed and hindrances and inhibitions are taken out of our lives, and we are walking with Him, not perfectly. We always understand that we are constantly trying to draw closer to Him. But to be able to walk with Him in love. Listen, this book called the Bible is so powerful that if you'll slow down and just begin to read, but let it come into you as you digest the word of the Lord. You can read Genesis 1 and 1 and start weeping. I want to tell you, you can read, "In the beginning was God." Just start weeping because the word is so powerful. So I want to examine my life, my reading of the word. Am I truly looking into your word, God, wherein you say, wherein I think are the words of eternal life, where I think I might find eternal life? To study that word, to learn of Him. That's what He said. He said, "Learn of me." And don't only learn of me, but take of my yoke, my burden, which is light and easy. Learn of me. Let my ways from the word come upon you. You know why we read the word of God and we are condemned? Because we don't understand the word of God. If you knew the author and what was really going on in that book, you would know that every commandment was out of love. You would know every "thou shalt not" was out of love. Every "don't do this," that's a curse. "Don't do that. Don't go there. That's wrong. Nope. Don't eat that tree." You would know that it's all about God wanting to have a relationship with me. It's not about condemnation or beating or any of that. It's about His desire to have a relationship with me. Adam, Eve, do not partake of the tree. Because if you do, the relationship that we have is going to end. And so God spends 4,000 years working on restoring that relationship. And now He says, "I am going to take my word. It used to be written on stone, but now I'm going to write it on the hearts of men." My God, that's powerful. What we have access to is incredible. If somehow we could digest that word and get it in us and let it renew our mind and our thinking, and everything about us will change. How we study the word of God. It's not just a book to read. Every time you open its pages, it ought to be about changing your life. It ought to be about fixing me. Or how can I draw closer to Him? Even the baguettes. the baguettes. So today we were supposed to look at how we read God's word. We were to examine our prayer life, our approach to God. Where are we in? To be honest with Him about it. Let Him talk to us about it. Examine how we are reading the word. What are we doing? Are we truly looking deep into God's word? What is our motive? Is our motive just so we can out-talk somebody else? Is our motive, did we get in the Word to find some nugget that we can go beat a Jehovah's Witness up with? That should never be the motive. The Word is always about our relationship with Him. When you increase your relationship with God, then you will fulfill the word of the Lord when He says, when someone asks you what you believe, you should be ready to give an answer. But when your relationship's right with God, it's not going to be one stone thrown after another stone. It's going to be a response in love. They are going to feel what you say much more than what they hear. If you deliver the word of God the way it's intended to be delivered, they will feel more than they will ever hear, because God's love will flow through you. I want to look at how I study the word of God, my motive in reading God's word. You know, can I be honest? There should never be a day that I ever opened the Word of God to find something in there how to fix somebody else. Because there's just too much wrong with me. I'm too busy trying to find something in there to fix me. Tomorrow is fasting. I encourage you to go to Isaiah 58. There are many other chapters and verses that deal with it. But we want to examine fasting. We have to be very careful about fasting. The attitude and the motive behind it. You know, it's one of the things that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees about. You walk about, your face all disfigured. You put ashes on your face. Drag yourself around. At the end of the day, you say, it's just day one. Please don't tell her I picked on her. So why we fast is very important. Fasting is always about me. It's always about me. It is never about anything else. Now, we've taught on this through the years. Fasting does not increase your power with God. The Holy Ghost doesn't get any stronger. It's as powerful as it'll ever get. Fasting is about me. It is specifically, directly designated to deal with your flesh. To deal with your flesh. You know, they asked the Lord, they came up to Jesus and they said, John's disciples fast. Why don't yours fast? And the Lord said, well, there's no need to fast as long as the bridegroom's with them. He said, but the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away. And they will fast and mourn. There's another one that says fast and pray. I know. But this particular chapter says they will fast and mourn. Because fasting deals with the flesh. It's not supposed to be pleasant. I can't put my finger on this connection between flesh and spirit. I don't think any of us completely, fully understand. However, you and I both know when you're tired in body, it affects you. You come to church and you worked all day and you're tired. And there's Johnny over there. He slept all day. He gets out and runs up and down the aisles and shouts, and looks around and condemns everybody else because they're not shouting. Well, they worked all day out in the heat. You come to the house of God on a Wednesday night, God bless your heart, and you're tired, and it affects how you reach out to God. There is a connection between your flesh and your spirit. Now, you and I both know that if you push and get past that, now watch me, you'll have some of your most powerful moves of God. Why? Because your flesh is tired. And once you get past the tiredness of your flesh and you enter into the spirit, your flesh don't have the energy to interrupt. And you just kind of shoot on up into glory land. But getting into that realm is kind of tough. So what is the Lord doing with fasting? He's tearing down your flesh so that you can get in the spirit and learn things and grow closer to Him. Now, the idea about it all is that we start a walk with God that even when we come off the flesh, off the fast, we maintain that walk with God in our relationship with Him. So, and I know this is the very surface explanation of fasting. So we need to look at, why are we fasting? Are we fasting because Pastor, or any of y'all fasting with us, by the way? Is anyone not? I know who to pray against. All right, Sister Vieira, we'll give you a break. You only got a few weeks to go, I guess, right? Months? One what? 1 week? 1 month? Week? Why y'all here? You know that can go either way. Week early, week late. Here, Lord in heaven. Fast, church, fast. Pray. So we have to examine why we're fasting. We are not fasting because Pastor called a fast. We're fasting because this church wants revival. And in order to have revival, we got to push our flesh down. Now, if you truly approach this right, show me God, speak to me, push my flesh aside. I'm examining my prayer life. I'm examining the reading of the word of the Lord. God is going to begin to show you things. And He's going to give you victory over areas of carnality in your life. Yes, He will. Because your flesh will be weakened and the spirit will rise up. And He will give you victory in areas of your life. But it's up to you to maintain that victory in that area. It's up to you to maintain that victory. So we have to examine why we're fasting. So tomorrow in prayer, whether it's on the prayer line or a time of meditation, you come home, you have some time you set aside now that other things are not occupying our time because we've set them all aside, then I can look at why am I fasting. I can study scriptures, get better understanding so that God can really do something in my life during this time. Would it not be incredible if during this time of fasting, this month, that something you have battled with for all your life, if God reached in there And through the pushing away and the weakening of the flesh, work in your life and give you revelation and give you victory over that area in your life. And you forever have power over that area in your life. Amen. Now, it don't mean you might have to make changes in your life. You might have to make a few changes, right? Okay. All right, so this is what we're doing as a church, and I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd because you're the core that helps push this, right? And then on Friday, we're going to be talking to God about our media. Because when the month is over, we're going to go back. Maybe not right away, but there's a reason why we do this every year. It's because by the time we get to the end, you know, we wrap back around, you're kind of right back where you were. Some of you worse. Some of you better. Maybe I should have said some of us worse, some of you better. So on Friday, we're going to be praying about media. I'm talking about every form of media that there is. Recently, not long ago, and I'm certainly not patting myself on the back by any means, but I'm a political kind of guy, news. My wife hates it. What a passion. So I make that sacrifice for her. If she's in the car. Actually, we have a deal. Whoever's driving gets to choose the station. And so I'm always on Fox News, 1290, Patriot. Every once in a while, I'll flip over to a liberal station just to get mad and then go back to the other. Anyway. But a few months ago, a couple years ago, actually, took the Lord a long time. So he started several years ago. However, a few months ago, when I kind of started responding, I said, you know, I really don't need to feed my spirit these things, even though it's how I think and it's what I enjoy. So that's how I kind of got hooked on this 25-hour session of forgiveness that brother, what's the brother's name? Brother Readout, one of our top guys in the UPC. And I'm on CD number 20 now. I've almost forgiven some of you. I'm hoping he can cover this in the next five sessions. But he's a real deep intellectual type teacher. It's incredible. It's good stuff. And I'm trying to learn to program myself to feed on other things. And what I've learned is that whatever you get used to eating is what your body will hunger for. Your spirit will hunger for it. If you eat a lot of junk food, your body's going to hunger for junk food. But if you can get off of junk food and eat healthy, your body will hunger for healthy things. Did you ever quit drinking Cokes? And then go back and drink one and go, how did I ever drink this? It's like syrup. But you drink it anyway. And then you drink two or three more, and then it's back to normal. Right? Cokes, cakes, chips. And so it's the same way with your spirit. Whatever you get your spirit, your soul, and your intellect, whatever you feed it, it's going to hunger more of it. And so we have to reprogram our media and start feeding ourselves. Besides the word and prayer, I'm talking about the fill-in things that we do. And start feeding ourselves things that will help us, whether it's good, solid preaching, Bible studies, or there's nothing wrong with certain types of documentaries and things like that, you know, as well, or history, I think is what I'm really trying to get at. In other words, learning the history of the church or learning the history of Rome during the time of the church and things like this. But feeding ourselves. I believe that if the church will change its diet concerning media, we will see a transformation in our services. We'll see it. It'll happen. Because we come in and we've let our minds be filled with whatever, and I'm being nice, I'm letting you fill in the gaps. Because you know you and I know me, right? And we have to spend 15 minutes pushing through the flesh, pushing through the stuff that we have shoved in our spirits, and I do mean shove, into our souls, our minds, and our spirits. And then we finally get in the presence of God. Then we spend another 15 minutes rejuvenating ourselves, repenting, rejuvenating, praying through, getting strong. And just about the time we're ready to do something for God, it's time to tear down the platform. Rather than walking into this place with our minds so geared up on this mighty God that we serve, our souls so full of the word and the good things of God, our spirits so full of expectation of what God is going to do in this service today, it'll transform our services. But it is not going to happen unless each and every one of us take it on as our personal responsibility to change our media diet. Amen. Amen. I know pastor's going to do it, which means my family's going to do it. And I'm not talking about being a nut or a radical. I'm talking about changing your diet, fixing your spirit and your soul. Let's fix the man. Because God wants a relationship with us. It's what He desires. And so I want to examine my prayer life. You may only get 10 minutes, but just make it real. Don't let it just be ritual. Make it real. Your Bible reading, you may not be able to spend hours in the Word of God. But whatever time you have there, open your spirit. Don't just read the words. Open yourself to that book and let God speak to you. So we're going to look at why we're fasting. We're going to examine our media in our lives. And if we'll do these things, then on Saturday, we're going to be examining our overall relationship with our Lord. How much, and I know I have to close, and I never even got into my little message today, but I felt like this is what the Lord wanted us to do, just talk about this a little bit. How much time do I really give God? I am not talking about the 8 hours, or some of you the 12 hours or the 16 hours that you may work that day. I understand that you have to work. So does He, by the way. He gave you that job, but not to take you away from Him. I'm talking about our free time. My time. Everybody say my time. My time. And by the way, try pulling that my time thing off on your spouse. Baby, this is my time. Yeah. We'll see how far that goes. So I want to examine myself. How much of my time do I really give to Him? Do I really let Him come and fellowship with me? Do we really believe that the greatest joy we can ever have is in Him? Do we really believe that? Because you do know that it is our nature to seek after those things we believe brings pleasure. So if we truly believe that in Him are the true pleasures and treasures of life, then we would be seeking to spend time with Him more than many of the other things that we let fill our life. I'm not talking about being crazy. Don't go wacko on me. You have a spouse. I knew a brother. I hope I can say this. And you understand what I'm trying to say. I know his name. Of course, I've never said it. This was 30 years ago. He was a wonderful man. A wonderful man of God. But his every waking moment, he was praying or reading. And never really spent time with his wife or spent time with his son. He would wake him up at 3 a.m. in the morning. We have to pray, we have to pray, we have to pray. And I understand the urgency of prayer, but God gives us balance. Why do you think Paul the Apostle said, if you can be like me, stay like me? If you can be single and sin not, then stay that way. Because Paul the Apostle is the same one who also instructed us how to love our wives and how to love our husbands. And so God understands once we marry, we have obligation of affection and time and relationship. And so we have to share that time with our earthly family, right? Of what maybe we would do with Him. So when Pastor preaches things like this, I'm not talking about neglecting biblical responsibilities. Well, I'm going to quit my job so I can pray more. What? And then come ask Pastor to pay your rent? No, you go to work. Well, my wife needs to understand I need, prayer time. My husband needs, no. Trust me. We waste enough time every day that we can fulfill all of these obligations biblically and still have much time to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's stand. So this week was or is about examining. Everybody say, I'm going to examine myself. So if you didn't really take the time on Tuesday to examine prayer, if you didn't take the time today to examine yourself and your relationship with the Word of God, then tomorrow bring those in. Talk to God and be honest. Say, God, talk to me about my prayer life. One thing I found I encourage you to do is if you're going to try to strengthen your prayer life, increase your prayer life, make it convenient. You say, well, that's carnal. No, that's real. Because if you say, I'm going to strengthen my prayer life, I'm going to get up every morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to pray for an hour, it's not going to happen. You might do it once or twice, and then you're going to smash the alarm clock. Make it convenient. Find time that you know is available to you, that you normally do something else, and sacrifice that time to the Lord. And examine your prayer life. Meditate on God. Look inward. Think on Him. Prayer life. Bible study. You would do better taking a subject and studying that subject and understanding that subject a little better than you would reading 50 chapters that day. If you just took two verses and just kind of really dug into them a little and let them get in your heart, that's what it's about. It's getting that word written on our hearts. So this is examine me. Week. Examine me week. I want us to pray together. We're going to ask the Lord to help us in this area. Father, you have heard my words tonight. I pray that you have placed them on my lips for me to speak. And I know, God, that you will hold me accountable to every word that I have spoken. I pray, Father, tonight, that every person in this building, that we would examine ourselves, examine our prayer life. Why has it weakened? Examine our lives. Examine our approach to the Word of God, studying God's Word. Why are we on this fast? What are we feeding ourselves through our everyday media? How is our relationship really with you? Oh God, help us to examine ourselves. Help us to look deep into our hearts and our lives. Help us to forgive ourselves of the wrongs that we have done so that we can lay them aside and walk into the throne room of grace boldly, with the blood of Jesus applied to us. Help us, Lord, to pick ourselves up from our faults and our failures and our weaknesses, and to draw closer to you, Lord, to walk with you and get to know you, and to have a real relationship with you, that we will love one another, that we will love you and love one another, that this church will be unified and strengthened in revival, that souls might be saved and redeemed and lifted up out of sin, God, and immorality, and given a relationship with you. Father, we pray it, we ask it. Help us, it's our prayer in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in closing, I want us to just lift our hands and just love Him together. Father, we just love you. We praise you. We adore you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love that is upon us, the power of God that is upon us. We worship and exalt you, sweet Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. You love us so much, God. You want a relationship with us, Lord. You're going to help us to establish that, Almighty God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we adore you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of the Lord, we bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now remember, not this weekend, but next weekend is Easter. Is that right? Not this weekend, but next weekend is Easter. Brother and Sister Howell, I saw you right back here, leaving us tomorrow, I believe. Is that right? Been with us for a few weeks. Always are blessed when he ministers. We love this couple. In Jesus' name, amen. You feel led to bless them in any way, please do so. So remember, start inviting your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, and especially your enemies to the Easter drama. We're going to have a wonderful time. It's going to be powerful, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. We're doing This Is That drama. It's always awesome. Love you. You're the greatest people in the world. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus. Be kind to one another. Love one another, speak well of one another, uplift one another, encourage one another.